just a real privilege to be here to visit with you this morning. I couldn't help but think as you're sitting there looking at me, and I just met Mr. McQuilkin in the back just a few moments ago, something like the pig in the poke, you know, you just wonder what you're getting into this morning. But it is a privilege to be here, and I've heard much about CBC over the years. I guess my first visit to CBC was just walking by the buildings downtown Columbia back in about 1947 or 1948. I was down in Columbia, and I just walked by there and happened to see the buildings, and of course have known many students over the years who have graduated from here and served with many. So I appreciate the opportunity of coming here, and of course I think the thing that I've appreciated most about CBC is simply the emphasis on missions, because this is where my heart has been over the years. Of course, I wish it had been more so, but my parents were missionaries in Venezuela. My father is from Scotland. He went to Venezuela back in 1915, I think it was. Of course, I wasn't around at the time, so I don't know the exact year, but he went to Venezuela. He was Plymouth Brethren from Glasgow, Scotland. Although, as I look at my dad, I've often thought that he was not a Plymouth Brethren, he was a Cadillac Brethren, because just a real fine Christian, and appreciate all that God did through his life in my life. He went to Venezuela. There he met my mother. My mother's Spanish, Venezuelan, and they were married and finally came to the States in the mid-20s, and I was born shortly after they arrived here. So I can be president of the United States. I was born here in the United States, although I don't think I really aspire to that particular job. But I thank the Lord for good, godly parents. Even though I was brought up in a Christian home, though, my father was pastor of a church up in upstate New York State, it wasn't until I was a senior in high school that I really came to know the Lord, even though I was active in the youth groups in the church and singing and so forth. It wasn't until that last year in high school that finally one Saturday night I came to the realization that I needed Christ, that I needed to invite him into my life. And so I remember 2 o'clock in the morning going into my mother's bedroom or into my parents' bedroom. My dad was hard of hearing, so I woke my mother up and I said, "Mom, I don't think I'm a Christian, and I want Christ tonight." And so there on my knees in my bedroom with my mother, I gave my heart to the Lord. And so this morning I'm proud to be in the Navy. Now, I am serving with Marines because there are no Marine chaplains as such. The Navy chaplains serve for the Marines. And so I'm proud to be in the United States Navy. I'm not ashamed of it at all. In fact, I was thinking of wearing my uniform this morning, but I didn't want to carry that extra baggage along. But I'm more proud this morning, though, to be in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, and just appreciate again the privilege of being here. I went to college not knowing exactly what the Lord wanted for me. I graduated still not knowing, taught for a while, and then finally all the time with this desire actually to go to the mission field, very active in mission prayer bands and so forth. But finally, the Lord just gave me a vision of the opportunity or the mission field that's in the military. And so for these past 19 and a half years now, since 1956, been serving with the Navy. And truly, I found it to be one of the greatest opportunities of a lifetime to serve the Lord. A verse that the Lord gave me many, many years ago is found over in the book of Isaiah, Chapter 58, I think it is. Isaiah 58, verse 11 says, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." So the vision the Lord gave me, at least in the military, was that even though He didn't direct me specifically to the foreign mission field, that is to serve in South America or Africa or New Guinea or someplace like this, the Lord did say, Hap, I want you to raise up. I want to use you as a tool to raise up the foundations of many generations. And so I thank the Lord for just those that the Lord has privileged us to, first of all, lead to Christ, and then to give them training in the Word of God. And this is the problem in the military. We transfer every 2 or 3 years, and so you aren't able to follow up those who have made decisions, and so it won't be until eternity that we actually find out, none of us will, what has happened to those who have received Christ and those who we have had in Bible studies. But we do thank the Lord for those who that I do know of who have made these decisions. Think of one young man who came into my office while I was stationed out in Guam, and he just sat down. I interviewed him and said, well, why don't you come back in and see me a few days here? And so he did. Talking with him there, he trusted the Lord as his Savior and finally became my yeoman, worked for me for about a year and a half. And of course, during this time, had opportunity to share the Word of God with him on a personal basis. And today he's serving as a missionary over in Ireland. Now, I wish I could tell you of maybe 100 or 200 different individuals like this, but we know many who the Lord has raised up or the Lord has brought about as an answer to this raising up the foundations of many generations. I feel a little bit this morning, you know, there are four kinds of sermons that a minister can bring. One's like a cat's tail, one's like a dog's tail, one's like a rabbit's tail, one's like a cat's tail. The cat tail type message is the kind that's fur to the end. We really don't have time for that kind this morning. The rabbit tail type message, that's the kind there ain't too much to it, you know. We don't want that kind either. There's the dog tail type, that's the kind that's bound to occur. You know, you just have those. Some of you get that a little bit later this afternoon. And then there's the rat tail type message. That's the kind that's straight to the point, and we better have a straight to the pointer this morning. A verse that's meant a great deal to me in knowing God's will in my life is Proverbs 16:9. I wish you'd turn with me to that particular verse, Proverbs 16:9. Many of you are searching for God's will in your life. You want to know what God wants you to do. And this verse has, over the years, has helped me tremendously in knowing God's will, or at least the principles in knowing God's will. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A man's heart deviseth his way. That particular word, devise, means to plan, to choose, or just putting it very simply, to will. A man or an individual, a young person in his own life, must make up his mind what way he wants to go. You know, many people are saying today, I want God's will in my life. But I'm going to make a statement that may sound strange, but you know, God is not looking for people who want God's will in their lives. God is not looking for people who want God's will in their lives. God is looking for people who will God's will in their lives, who actually make the choice. A man's heart must choose which way he wants to go. Do I want God's will no matter what it is? And do I choose that? You don't know what it is, but I want God's will. I want to go God's way. Or am I going to choose to go my way? Do my thing. Do what I want to do. And we as Christians make that choice. A man's heart, in your own heart, you devise, you choose, you will which way you're going to go. But if you choose God's way and say, yes, Lord, I choose that, I devise that, I plan that, that's the way I'm arranging all my life, I'm choosing that, then God's promise is He'll direct your steps. You may not know what tomorrow holds, but as the song goes, you know who holds the future. I think of it oftentimes as just the little blocks of linoleum here on the I was going to say on the deck, but on the floor. And you can get yourself in one little block. Now, 10 years from now, you may not know what block in God wants you to be. But if you choose, Lord, I want your perfect will, God will direct you a block at a time. And you can say that's a day at a time, or a week at a time, or a month at a time, or a year at a time. But you'll end up in the right block if you choose, make that initial decision, Lord, I want your will. So what the Lord is looking today for is not wanters, but willers. Not wanters, but willers. You are what you will to be. Now, let me give you just a few illustrations from God's Word. First of all, Enoch. Enoch was a man who made a decision. And the particular word there says he walked with God. Now, if you study it carefully, that particular verb is a reflexive tense. It's an interesting word in the Hebrew language, but it's reflexive. And it means he walked himself. Enoch made up his mind. He chose to walk with God. As it were, he was walking down the road one day, and he grabbed himself by the collar, and he said, Enoch, old boy, you're going to walk with God. And so Enoch walked with God. You take Joshua. These are familiar verses to you, but I just want to point out how God is looking for willers and not wanters. You know, a lot of people want to walk with God, but it's making that choice. Lord, I will walk with you. I will walk with you. Joshua, as he talked to the people just before his death, you remember what he said? As for me and my house, we want to serve the Lord. Is that what he said? No. For me and my house, we will. It was a decision. It was a choice. And God blessed him and used him for it. Daniel, there in the first chapter, remember it says, he purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's dainties. The particular word there means to fix. To determine. He fixed in his mind, he determined in his mind he was not going to defile himself. You know, many young people today, well, I don't want to defile myself with worldly thoughts. Maybe a little paperback book that we know we shouldn't be reading, but every once in a while we pull it out. Daniel determined in his mind he was not going to defile himself. He made that choice. And then God directed his steps in the right direction. Also in the 10th chapter, I think it was the angel, wasn't it, that came down to Daniel and said, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, thy words were heard. Thy words were heard. From the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand. It was a choice. It was a choice. Over in Proverbs, I think you're still there in Proverbs, perhaps in your Bible, just turn back a page or so, to Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Yes, the lazy individual wants. You know, oh, I want to be a great prayer warrior for God. I want to win others to Christ. I want this and I want that. But God says the soul of the diligent, the soul of the willer, the soul of the person who makes up his mind, this is what I want and I'm going to do it, and actually makes that choice and starts moving in that direction. Now, I know you're saying, well, Chaplain, that all sounds great this morning, but it sounds like you're preaching a whole lot of works. Well, let's talk a little bit more, and then we'll talk about the other part of it here. Many other verses, but we can't have a cattail type. God's help, and with his grace, with his omnipotent power flowing into our lives, we can't lose. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. With all God's resources, we can't fail. We need to be willers, making that positive choice. A little saying that has meant too much to me over the years is, I'm only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. what I can do, I ought to do, and by God's grace, I will do it. Notice that, by God's grace, only with his strength. But Christ paid the penalty that we might have victory over sin, and Christ's resurrection power is available to us if we'll just get out and do. If there's a habit you ought to quit, well then quit it. And then ask the Lord to give you strength to stay quit. I just asked the Lord one time, I had a bad habit of chewing my mouth. You know, maybe it's chewing fingernails or something like that. And I just kept doing it and kept doing it. I knew it was a bad habit. So I said, well, Lord, now if it works for quitting smoking or quitting drinking or quitting a lot of other things, I ought to quit chewing my mouth, you know. So I said, Lord, I'm quitting right now. And Lord, you're going to have to help me stay quit. And he has. Now, every once in a while I slip, but it's just a matter of choice and then relying on his strength to stay. Father, we thank you for these moments together. Help us not to be just wanters, but help us to will, to make the choice, and then capitalize on the tremendous strength and grace that's available to us. Bless these young people. Oh, God, use them mightily in the days and years ahead until you come, that they might be endowed with your power. But, oh, Lord, may they not be just dilly-dallying around in the king's business, but, Father, may they choose and then move out with your strength to do your will, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Over in the New Testament, Paul, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2:2. 1 Corinthians 2:2. It's just interesting as you read God's word, the emphasis on this thing of making a choice in our Christian lives, and not just wanting something, but willing it. Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." He determined. That particular word means to resolve, to desire, to choose. Then a little bit later, over in the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians, turn over a page there. Paul was going to actually make a visit, I think, to the Corinthians. And there in verse 21, 4:21, he says, "What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love and in the spirit of meekness? What do you choose? What will you?" Then over in the ninth chapter, chapter 9, verse 22, 1 Corinthians 9:22, "To the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that by all means I might save some. And this I do." It just kind of runs a shiver up my backbone as I see this man, Paul. He wasn't just a wishy-washy wonder, you know, with a piece of rubber hose up his backbone. But here was a young man, well, maybe not necessarily a young man, but a man who had made up his mind, "I am going to serve God." And he made that choice. And God richly blessed him for it. "This I do for the gospel's sake. This I do for Jesus." How can I do less than give him my best? After all he's done for me. Well, there are many and many other verses, but let me just close with this particular one in the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. He says, "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." And I had not noticed that for many years, and then I just, of course, this is in the King James, says, Stephanas addicted himself to the work of the ministry. He addicted himself. Now, there are three steps to addiction, whether it's drug addiction or alcohol addiction or whatever it is. First of all, there's a desire for whatever it is. Let's say drugs. There's a desire for the drug. And then there's actually partaking of it, and then finally it becomes a habit. All right, here was Stephanas. He wanted to serve the Lord. He wanted to minister to other people. And so he addicted himself. And notice, he does the addicting. It wasn't say, oh, Lord, I want to be a minister. Lord, I want to help other people. But he, first of all, there was the desire. There has to be that first. But then secondly, he made the choice and he started doing it. He started doing it. And then finally, with the Lord's strength, he claimed the victory and he became addicted to it. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. You know, with the Lord's help and with his grace, with his omnipotent power flowing into our lives, we can't lose. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. With all God's resources, we can't fail. We need to be willers, making that positive choice. A little saying that has meant too much to me over the years is, I'm only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do, and by God's grace, I will do it. Notice that, by God's grace, only with his strength. But Christ paid the penalty that we might have victory over sin, and Christ's resurrection power is available to us if we'll just get out and do. If there's a habit you ought to quit, well then quit it. And then ask the Lord to give you strength to stay quit. I just asked the Lord one time, I had a bad habit of chewing my mouth. You know, maybe it's chewing fingernails or something like that. And I just kept doing it and kept doing it. And I knew it was a bad habit. So I said, well, Lord, now if it works for quitting smoking or quitting drinking or quitting a lot of other things, I ought to quit chewing my mouth, you know. So I said, Lord, I'm quitting right now. And Lord, you're going to have to help me stay quit. And he has. Now, every once in a while I slip, but it's just a matter of choice and then relying on his strength to stay. Father, we thank you for these moments together. Help us not to be just wanters, but help us to will, to make the choice, and then capitalize on the tremendous strength and grace that's available to us. Bless these young people. Oh, God, use them mightily in the days and years ahead until you come, that they might be endowed with your power. But, oh, Lord, may they not be just dilly-dallying around in the king's business, but, Father, may they choose and then move out with your strength to do your will, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.